I want tonight to preach upon the subject which I have entitled The Conspiracy Led by Priests, which ended in national loss. And I think that if you were following the scripture reading in Matthew chapter 27 and the 11th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans, you will see there the conspiracy that was led by the priests, and you will see the loss that came about as a consequence of that conspiracy. What a living sermon the Jewish people are. If the world never had a Bible, in this day and in this generation, but had only a report passed on to us from previous generations of God's dealings with man, we would find in the history of the Jewish people a book that would be instructive, enlightening, and containing the wisdom of the ages. The Jewish people, my friend, are like a canvas upon which the great Creator has drawn with bold and clear strokes and with vivid colors a revelation of His purpose and His plan. Look at the Israelite people and you see God and God's plan and God's ways. Frederick the Great, who was a ruler of Prussia, challenged on one occasion his chaplain to prove the authenticity of the Bible. Prove it's true. Prove that it's genuine. And do it in a few words. The chaplain came back with a sagacious answer. An answer full of wisdom. He said, "The Jew, Your Majesty, the Jew." And indeed, there is no greater proof of the existence of God. There is no greater proof of the authenticity of the Bible than the Jewish people. The history of the Jewish people testifies to the consequences of following religious leaders whose hearts and minds are set against the gospel. We read in Matthew chapter 27 of the priests urging the people to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and urging them with equal vehemence to accept and call for the release of Barabbas, the murderer. Whenever you have a religious leadership that demands of its people that they reject the Son of God and accept a sinful man, then you can be sure that such advice, if acted upon, will bring disaster upon the people who have been so falsely advised. I could apply that to the present day in which we live. But it is not my desire tonight to deal with that, the present religious controversy that exists in our country. But let me say this in passing. In this country, there is a religious leadership that day and daily is asking the people to reject the Christ of the Bible. They are telling us that the Bible is not an accurate record. That the miracles that were performed in the Bible didn't really happen. They call upon us to reject many of the doctrines that are fundamental to the Bible. Doctrines like the infallible truthfulness of this book. They tell us that it contains errors, it contains myths and fancies, inaccuracies and errors of every type are found within its pages. Don't believe everything you read in it. They tell us that we must question the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell us that we must question the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell us that we must put a question mark over the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell us that we must not accept absolutely the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, all those statements that I have just put forward to you are not the imaginations of my mind, but they are the sentiments and the teaching of innumerable men of high standing in the churches of today. Now that's a fact. And if you have any interest in religious affairs, you know that that's a fact. I tell you this. If Ulster believes that nonsense, if Ulster follows that nonsense, and rejects the old message of God's word, then Ulster will suffer as Israel suffered. And it is perhaps relevant, therefore, that we just give a little time to think of the national loss incurred by Israel, as she was led by a bunch of conspiratorial priests who hated Christ. Let's think first of all about the loss that Israel suffered as a result of following the leadership of her religious pastors at the time of Christ. We read together all of chapter 11 of Romans, because it was such a relevant portion. And I'm sure you were following that reading, noting many things in it. And if you carefully study chapter 11 of Romans, you'll find that characteristics of the loss that Israel suffered are set down there by the Apostle Paul. There are seven of them. Seven in the Bible is the number of fullness or perfection. God ordained a 7-day week. That's the cycle of time that we, throughout the whole world, have. Why did God not have a 6-day week, or an 8-day week, or a 10-day week? 7. Well, 7 is the number of fullness. It depicts fullness. Come to the fullness of the week when you come to the 7th day. And in chapter 11 there are 7 things that Israel suffered as a result of rejecting Christ. And it speaks of the fullness of loss that there was. You know, if you reject Christ, my friend, you suffer a loss that is absolutely full. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you may think you're rejecting Him in order to keep something or gain something, but you suffer a loss of everything when you reject Christ. The Lord Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world to lose his soul. There's no gain. It's all loss. But the world, its riches, its fame, its power, its honor, everything that you can possibly obtain from the world, give it to a man. But if he rejects Christ, he has gained nothing. He has suffered the loss of everything. He will have no profit to show as a result of his transaction. And when Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, she lost everything. Everything. Think about her. If you go down the chapter, and I'm going to do it very quickly, just looking at a number of verses that highlight things that have happened. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? That's the first thing. When Israel rejected Christ, they fell. They fell. Israel was a nation exalted above other nations. Israel occupied a position that no other nation occupied. Israel was a unique nation. God had dealings with Israel that he did not have with any other nation under heaven. And when Israel rejected Christ, Israel fell. Israel fell. Fell from that position. Fell from that privilege. In the verse 15, we read these words. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world. They were not only to suffer a fall, but they were to suffer a casting away. Now that's even stronger. To fall is one thing, but to be actually cast down is another. A fall can be accidental. A casting away is deliberate. They fell as a result of their rejecting of Christ. They were cast away as a result of God's judgment upon them for that terrible action. Israel is a nation under judgment. Israel is a nation that has the face of God against it today. It has the face of God against it. It has the hand of God against it. It has the mind of God against it. It is a nation under judgment. It's cast away. It's put out. If you look at the verse 20, we read of them suffering unbelief. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Unbelief. That's the state that Israel is in. Unbelief. Their mind is locked on unbelief. You talk to any evangelist who has gone among the Jewish people to win them to Jesus Christ, and they are the hardest of all people to speak to. The hardest of all people to speak to. Their minds are set against the gospel. They talk about Roman Catholic people being difficult to evangelize. My friend, they are not difficult in comparison to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the only people under heaven who from their infancies are taught never to say the name of Jesus. They are taught to look upon him as an impostor. They are taught to look upon him as a devil. Oh, the Mohammedan isn't taught that. The Mohammedan will give to Christ some little honor. He will say, oh, he was a great prophet. The Roman Catholic Church, we have a great controversy with it. And it's teaching about Jesus Christ, but they do not teach their people that Jesus was a devil and that you shouldn't speak his name. But the Jewish people are, such as the unbelief that they're in. When God takes away light from you, my friend, you're left in utter darkness. Complete darkness. And the mind of the Jewish people is today in unbelief. Verse 20, we also read the phrase broken off. Broken off. Severed. When something is broken, the union disappears. There is a severing. In this case, it's the breaking off of a branch. What happens? A branch that breaks off is broken off and dies. The line of supply is cut. The life-giving sap no longer travels to the extremities of the limbs of that branch. It dies. It's deprived of life, and Israel is a broken off branch. It's a dead branch. Spiritually, Israel is dead. Dead. A dead people. Spiritually dead people. There is no race under heaven that today endures that judgment. And if you have any knowledge of the Israelite people, you'll know and see that that is an evident factor. There is an air of death about the Jewish race because they're broken off. But they're not only broken off. Verse 21, God spared not the natural branches. That's Israel. God didn't spare them. God spared them not. God had demonstrated his love for Israel. He had said to Israel, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. He said to Israel, thou art my people. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And yet when they sinned as they did, when they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, God spared them not. God spared them not. You know, my friend, God is a God of love, of that there is no doubt, but he's a God of justice as well. God will not spare those who rebel against him. It matters not if you had Abraham as your father, or David amongst your ancestors, or a Jacob as a relative. It matters not that in your veins there runs the blood of a chosen race. If you do wrong, God will not spare you. God will not excuse you. God spared not this people. Verse 25 speaks of them of being a blinded people. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. They are a blind people. Oh, how terrible it is to be blinded. In the verse 28, we read of them as being the enemies of the gospel. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies. I told you how the Israelite people hate and oppose the gospel. And they are the enemies of the gospel. They're tutored to be enemies of the gospel. They are brought up to oppose the gospel at every turn. That's the terrible loss that they suffered. A sevenfold loss. A sevenfold darkness. A sevenfold ignorance. A sevenfold depth of despair have they fallen into as a result of their listening to priests who gave them false counsel. That's the characteristics of their loss. We could speak of the continuance of their loss. How long has this terrible loss gone on? A man can lose his fortune and remake it again. A man can lose his health and regain it again. A man can lose his happiness and rebuild it again. What of Israel? Well, here we are in the 20th century. And Israel today is enduring what she endured in the first century. 19 centuries ago, the Roman armies in AD 70 advanced against Jerusalem and destroyed it. They waited, the history book tells us, thigh deep in Jewish blood. Jews were taken and crucified for miles outside the main roads leading in to Rome. We read of them
being sold upon the open market in such numbers they were almost given away. There was a glut of slaves. The siege of Jerusalem is a terrible blot upon the history of mankind. But it has been equaled in this 20th century. In fact, it has been equaled every century that has followed on hard on the heels of the first century. For every century witnessed the Jewish people enduring terrible affliction. Right up until we come to the 20th century when, under Hitler, the Jewish communities in Germany and Austria and in all the lowland countries, Central Europe and in Poland, the Jewish communities were wiped out. The most awful atrocities took place and over 6 million Jews were destroyed. Destroyed in a most inhumane fashion. What a dreadful thing. What a dreadful thing. It's continued then, this loss. It wasn't a judgment of a day or a month or of a generation. It is a judgment that shall continue until God's purpose has been fulfilled. It's no light thing, my friend, to throw away the gospel. It's no light thing to miss your chance of salvation. Could I speak about the consequences of the loss? Physical suffering. That has been the lot of the Jew. The Jew has been the center of man's hatred for 2,000 years. No matter where the Jew has gone, the periods in which he has not been afflicted have been very, very short. Every generation has had to endure affliction. Mental anguish. They have lived as a people without a home. They have lived as a people without a protector. They have lived as a people awaiting the next outburst. Whenever there was a national disaster like a plague, in ages which we might describe as less enlightened than this age. And yet how can we say that when we think that only some 40-odd years ago Hitler was saying, if we rid the world of the Jew, we'll have rid the world of its troubles. That philosophy was seen in every generation right back to the dreadful hour when Christ was rejected. If there was a plague, they blamed the Jew. It's the filthy Jew. He's to blame. If there was a national disaster, a flood, a drought, they blamed the Jew. They said, it's the Jew. God's angry with us for allowing the Jews to live amongst us. And the populace rose up and they slaughtered the Jews. Everything was blamed on the Jews. And they lived from day to day not knowing peace or any contentment. But above all, there has been eternal miseries. For rejecting of Christ does not merely bring misery in time, but it brings misery in eternity. It's interesting to recall what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 28 when he warned the people away back then, when they had just become the chosen nation. He warned them, look, if there ever comes a time when you reject, this is Deuteronomy chapter 28, if there ever comes a time when you reject me and turn away from my word, then thou wilt suffer dreadfully. God set out the blessings that would come upon them. He told them the great benefits that would be theirs. If you read the first 14 verses of chapter 28, you'll see what blessed things God promised to the Jewish people.
But from the verse 15, we read, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee."
My friend, I haven't time tonight to read the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy, but you read it and you'll see stamped and written upon these curses all the things that have taken place throughout the last 2,000 years when Israel has been a nation suffering a loss. Verse 37, for instance, "And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee." The Jewish people are a proverb. They are a byword. It's interesting also that God said in the verse 49, as a special judgment, "The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth." It's interesting that in AD 70, the nation that came against Israel was the Roman nation, the Roman army. And the symbol of the Roman army, of course, was the imperial eagle. And everywhere the Roman legions marched, they carried at the head of their legions the symbol of the eagle. 2,000 years later, they were crushed by another nation, the symbol of which was the eagle, the German eagle. And the eagle was the symbol that Hitler pinned upon the insignia of his regime. Is it not significant that God said, "I'll bring a nation against you, as swift as the eagle flieth"? Read through that chapter at some later date, and you will discover how it is plainly stated that dreadful things would come upon the nation of Israel should they ever reject the truth of God. These are the consequences of the loss that they endured. Losing out with God brought them terrible sufferings. The second thing I want to say tonight, that this loss occurred from following false religious leaders. The Free Presbyterian Church has not been slow to warn this province of the consequences of following false religious counsel. We have ourselves come under severe fire, severe criticism for criticizing other churches. All people have screwed up their faces and they've gurned a wee bit and said, "Oh, now they're always on about the churches." That's very true, my friend. We're always on about the churches. And as long as God gives me breath, I'll be on about the churches. Because, dear friend, what the churches are doing in Ulster today is going to cost us our liberty. And I'll go on about the churches. Oh, if Israel had not listened to her religious leaders, Israel would not be where she is today. If Israel had not hearkened to those priests that nudged the people and said, "Go on, shout for Barabbas, shout for Barabbas, say, crucify this fellow Jesus," they wouldn't be where they are today. The Jewish people listened to their priests. They followed the advice that was given. There had always been a conflict between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jewish spiritual leadership from the moment that he began his ministry. And if you carefully read through the four accounts, the four Gospels, you will discover how they were all, they detected right away, as soon as he opened his mouth, it seems, they detected that he was different, that he was dangerous. And we read of them sending down their spies, standing on the outskirts of the crowd, listening to what he was saying. And it wasn't long after he began his ministry that they began to come together and say, "He has to go. He has to be killed. He has to be destroyed, for he's undermining our position. He's going to destroy our leadership.
He's going to take away our standing with the people. He's a threat to us.
He must be killed. The people listened to the priests, despite the fact that the words of the prophets plainly indicated that Jesus was the Christ. Peter, later on, you read it in Acts chapter 10, the verse 43, Peter said to him, to Jesus, give all the prophets witness. There is not a prophet, my friend, in this book but spoke of Jesus. No matter where you turn in this book, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not find the name Jesus, but you'll find the person of Christ. And every prophet spoke of him. Every man who came with a message from God, be it 1,000 years or 2,000 years before Jesus was born, spoke of Jesus. And if the people had only listened to what the prophets had said, they would never have listened to what the priests were saying. And my friend, if Ulster would listen to the Bible, Ulster would never have anything to do with ecumenism. If Ulster would listen to the Word of God, Ulster would not for one moment tolerate the homeward trend. The Jewish people chose the priests despite the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Officers were sent to arrest him on one occasion, and they came back to the priests and to the religious leaders, and they hadn't Christ with them. And they were challenged by their masters and asked, why haven't you arrested him? And the officers who had been sent to arrest him answered very simply, never man spake like this man. We couldn't arrest him. Such was the wisdom of his mouth. Such were the wonderful things that he said. Such was the power with which he said it. Never man spake like this man. And we couldn't arrest him. Think of that man speaking throughout the land. Think of the villages. Think of the people by their thousands who heard Jesus preach. And I'm sure there were more than just these officers who said, I have never heard the like of that. But even despite that, they still listened to their religious leaders and they crucified the man who was unequaled in all others who had ever spoken before. They listened to their leaders and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ despite the wonder of the miracles. John tells us in the very last verse of his book, the Gospel of John, that the world isn't big enough to contain all the books that would be written about the things, the wonderful things that Jesus did. You know, I would need very little convincing that there was not a person in all of Israel but witnessed some wonder wrought by Jesus Christ. If they didn't see him working the miracle, they saw the miracle afterwards. If they didn't see Lazarus actually coming out of the grave after being dead 4 days and still wearing the grave clothes, they saw Lazarus the next day, or the next month, or the next year. They saw evidence of the miracles wrought by Jesus. I don't believe there was an eye in Israel but witnessed the wonderful work of Christ. And yet they crucified him. They crucified him. They listened to their leaders. All that they suffered, my friend, came about as a result of listening to false preachers. And listening to them even though the prophet's words told them not to. Even though the wisdom of Jesus told them not to. Even though the wonderful miracles of Jesus told them not to. They had to ignore furthermore the warnings of Christ against the priests. Some tremendous things, you know. said by the Lord Jesus against the priests. Matthew chapter 23. Again, it's a chapter that I do not intend reading, and I'd like you to read. So there's two chapters to read before you go to bed tonight, and I'll not take you too long. You'll spend more time drinking your tea and eating a half a loaf of sandwiches than it would take you to read these two chapters. And that sandwiches will only keep you up all night with heartburn. But these two chapters will send you to bed with blessing. So, make the right choice. And Mrs., you just cut down on the white bread tonight and tell them to read the Bible instead. It'll help his figure, and it undoubtedly will help his heart, his soul, and his mind as well. Then it says, chapter 1 of Matthew 23, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. Now here was a direct warning, a direct message by the Lord Jesus to the people. He's speaking to the people. And what's he speaking about? Verse 2, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He's going to talk to them about the religious leaders. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Whatever they teach you from the teachings of Moses, you do it. But do not ye after their works. Don't do it the way they do it. Because they only tell you to do it and don't do it themselves. Follow their precepts, but don't follow their example. And if you read on down that chapter, you'll see what Jesus says about these religious leaders. Verse 13, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 16, woe unto you, ye blind guides. Verse 17, ye fools and blind. Verse 19, ye fools and blind. Verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 24, blind guides. Verse 25, hypocrites. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisee. And so it was on, my friend. Lord Jesus Christ with clear diction. There was no mixing of his words. He told the multitude, he told the people of Israel the type of person they were following. I know that we get criticized for preaching against the like of the Bishop of Durham. We get criticized for preaching against the moderators and the presidents and the archbishops and the bishops and the canons and all the rest of it. Listen, friend. Can you imagine the editorial that would have been in the Impartial Reporter if they had heard this sermon by the Lord Jesus? Man, they would have said a few things that wouldn't have been favorable. You can imagine what the religious leaders said when they had it reported to them. But the Lord Jesus went down the line and he warned the people faithfully as to the nature of the priest. But still the people followed the priests. They had to ignore furthermore the willingness of Pilate to release Jesus. Pilate, the ungodly heathen man, wanted to let Jesus go. In Acts chapter 3 and the verse 13, Peter's sermon, following the healing of the crippled man, he says in the verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. So the people chose the leadership of the priests. Despite the words of the prophets, despite the wisdom of the Savior, despite the wonder of his miracles, despite the warnings against those priests, And despite the willingness of Pilate to let Jesus go, listen, any people that sins against such light, such warnings, is a people that's going to suffer great loss and endure great judgment. I'll say one thing in closing. The loss that Israel suffered as a result of the conspiracy led by the priests is a loss which shall continue until the end of this age, and will only come to an end when the Lord Jesus Christ is received as Savior by the Jewish people. That day is coming. We read in Romans chapter 11 and the verse 26, so all Israel shall be saved. The nation of Israel shall be saved. There's a day when the whole nation of Israel that will remain then upon the face of the earth will be brought to Christ, brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And that's when the loss that started with that dreadful decision by the people when they said, crucify him, crucify him. That's when that loss will come to an end. That's when they will no longer be broken off, cast away, fallen. No longer in blindness, no longer in unbelief, but they will be grafted in again. They will be reconciled to God. They will rest in faith upon Jesus Christ. They will be no longer a scattered nation, but they will be a saved nation. Men and women, let me stress to one and all here that it is a foolish thing to be led against the Word of God. Whether you're led by a religious leader or just led by the stubbornness of your own heart, you can only come to suffering and to loss. You can only come to eternal disaster. Oh, tonight, heed the gospel. Trust the Savior. Turn to him. Israel is learning. 2,000 years she has been in the classroom. And my friend, we are spectators standing on the sidelines or looking in through the windows of the classroom and seeing God teach a people, you cannot sin against me and get away with it. And it's only when you come to the feet of Jesus and receive him as your Savior that you will know joy and peace eternal. Men and women, tonight, heed the gospel warning. Heed the plain teaching of that story that we remember at Easter time. Hear echoing down through the years the cry of the people, crucify him, crucify him, away with him. And remember what happened when they took that decision. And tonight, make sure that there is not found in your heart or in your mind or in your soul the slightest resemblance to that spirit of rejection. But tonight, call upon the name of the Lord that you might be saved. Ask the Lord to save you, forgiving you of your sins and cleansing them away in the blood of the Lamb. For you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that when he died on the cross, he died to save you. You don't reject him. Rather, you receive him. Tonight, come to Christ. Trust him as your Savior. May God save you. Bring you to himself and glorify his name in your life. Let's bow in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our meeting is almost over. My dear friend, I would challenge you tonight, as you look back over the 2,000 years of disaster that has marked the Jewish nation, and recall that disaster was brought upon them as a result of their rejecting of Christ. What can you hope to gain by continuing to reject the Savior? Young man, young woman, no profit can be yours by rejecting Jesus. Father, mother, what can you hope to gain? If the Israelite nation, that privileged people, that people beloved, the offspring of Abraham, the friend of God, if that nation was judged, why should you think that you will be spared? If you commit the same sins they committed, rejecting Jesus. Tonight, my friend, come in repentance and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. As we conclude in prayer, I want you, my friend, to face up to this matter. And if I can be of any help to you tonight, please come and see me. After the service, I'll be in the minister's room. You can come in there and talk. I will be glad to show you from God's word how you can avoid doing what the Jewish people did. You can receive Christ.